Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters. Thanks for joining. It's nice to be together as we consider the Word of God today. Hey, I just want to say, hey, if you're new or newer to Living Waters Church, welcome. Thanks for joining us today. I'd love to know that you're joining today. You can head over to our website where there's contact information about Living Waters Church. My contact information, of course, others on our ministry team, we're all there. We'd love to know you. We'd love to help you find your way at Living Waters Church, if that could be helpful for you. Well, today we continue in our summer series called The Full Orchard. It's been great. We've been learning so much. Scripture tells us that when we place our trust in Jesus and become alive in his Spirit, a work of deep cultivation begins within our lives. A cultivation, if tended to, will produce health and well-being. An orchard full of good fruit. Of course, our focus is not to be on self-improvement, but rather surrender to the Holy Spirit and receiving the promise of God to produce a harvest or a yield that's good for us and good for the world and honoring to God. Today, we're looking at the subject of kindness. Of course, kindness listed in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Many years ago, I randomly discovered a series on Netflix, and it's called was called The Kindness Diaries, a true documentary as it recorded the journey of one man named Leon and his crew who traveled from Alaska to Argentina in a yellow Volkswagen. His series caught my attention. His series records his trip and all his meetings. But what made the show intriguing to me was that he would show up in different places with no food, no gas, no money, and no place to stay, and was committed to not to take any actual money from anyone. So as he traveled, he was relying entirely on the kindness of strangers for food, for gas money, and places to stay. His quest was to experience kindness, true kindness. Well, you can imagine the twist of this, of discovering unsuspected Good Samaritans, surprised by people's lack of response. What's interesting is when he did find generous Samaritans or kindness, he would often give back to them through donation and sponsorship. Again, he had all kinds of experiences, and kindness was experienced in many unlikely places. Today, we're talking about kindness. Perhaps not so much about human kindness, but rather God's kindness, which deeply touches our lives if we allow it. Scripture would actually lead us to believe that God has written a kindness diary over our lives. A diary, if you would, describing his plans and his purpose for our lives, numbering our days, leading our lives, and sharing in detail what an outpouring of his kindness would look like, feel like, and be like. Perhaps this all sounds so good on paper and even in the hearing, but there's many that would think that it's quite unlikely to discover a kindness diary written by God. Many would not put the word kind at the top of any list when thinking and talking about God and his interactions with them or the people in the world in which we live with. Let's begin considering a few reasons why that possibly would be before we talk a little bit more about God's actual kindness. Well, a few reasons why this is hard to get our minds around. Number one, perhaps, is entitlement. Let me explain. There will always be a certain amount of difference with how God seemingly expresses kindness to one person over another, or one family to another. As a Christ follower, we need to very quickly put names on our jealousies, our comparisons, and resentments. We must remember that no one is entitled to anything from God for that matter. For what God does for one does not seem to think or seem that he is obligated to do for another. Rest assured, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We are to live thankfully and gratefully for all God has given to us and how kind God is to us. And we just need to keep it simple and leave it there. We need to address entitlement. Number two, mystery. There's all kinds of events and activities that happen in this world that we don't understand. And at that point, we must be wise and determined to not allow these mysteries to create stumbling blocks to thinking that God is kind. Many things that happened in this world seem to be unjust, unfair. Furthermore, tragic things happen in God's full view. How can God be thought of as kind when there's so much tragedy and evil in this world? In those mysterious moments, we must wisely place our trust in God's character to care for us, care for others, and to care for his world over long periods of time. Perhaps another reason is free will. All through the Bible, God has been kind to describe the wage of sin or the cost of sin, both in the short and long term. For a lot of tragedy and suffering in the world is a result of people's free will and choice to sin. It's not a matter of God's kindness nor predetermination. Our entire world, as we know, shares the consequence of mankind's disobedience to God. Let us be thankful for God's kindness on helping us understand in advance the wage and cost of sin, and furthermore, God making it very clear how we find our way back to God through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Perhaps God's will is another. There are times a parent can be thought of as insensitive or unkind by a child because the parent did not do the one thing the child really wanted them to do. A child can be fixated on this one thing, using this as a scorecard rather than appreciating all the other multiple kind things the parent does each day. We must not base our conclusion of God's kindness on our perception of what God is seemingly not doing at any given time. Rather, we must wisely zoom out and consider the kindness of God based upon what we would understand he is doing or has done in the past. And finally, perhaps God's love is always expressed by his kindness. We should note kindness can be expressed without love, but love cannot be expressed without kindness. Therefore, God, who is love, cannot express his love without kindness. So we can say at all times that God is love and is kind to us all day and every day. So again, back to the consideration of a kindness diary being written about you and for you. As we get up and over those obstacles that will always be interplaying with our mind, we can find a lot of runways to consider, discover, and continually benefit from God's kindness. Psalm 139 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." See, God is writing a story, a diary about you, a love story where you and I benefit from his kindness. Psalm 139 continues, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God." We would be wise to settle once and for all. God loves us. He cares deeply. He is generous. He wants to pour out his kindness. And God's thoughts about us are to be considered and meditated upon. They are to become precious to us. The word precious means to be appraised at a high value. And so the higher the level of our thinking about God and his precious thoughts towards us, the better the runway for us discovering continually God's kindness being poured out upon us. These thoughts and meditations are to be our most valuable and prioritized thoughts, God's kindness towards us. So how do we centralize God's thoughts about us? How do we prioritize this script and the pages of God's kindness diary being written presently over our lives? Well, Romans 2 shares three thought-provoking questions about the kindness of God. The verse reads this way, "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" Three questions. Number one, Paul is asking straight up, do you show contempt or do you underestimate the riches of God's kindness? As we read in the New Testament, we learn about God's determination to be kind regardless of human gratitude and contempt. Titus 3, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." You want to see and experience kindness? Take a good look at Jesus and the way kindness has been expressed to us through his word and through his deed. God's kindness is powerful. It changes things. It redeems us. It makes us whole. It gives us new life. And he holds out this invitation in front of all mankind to take a look at what Jesus has done for us. For Jesus express kindness to us through the giving of his life. As we consider again Titus chapter 3, God did not show us contempt. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So again, because we are sinners, Christ died. Because we had sinned against God, Jesus died. Jesus did not die on a cross to ignore our sin. He died because of sin. Because of kindness, the cross acknowledges and atones for sin, whether people do the same or not. It was important and is important for Jesus to put a name on sin and to offer us something in its place. God offers us a do-over, a new start, a rebirth and renewal through the transformative work of the Holy Spirit. He offers eternal life. And he adopts us into his family, and we become his sons and daughters. What we see in Titus 3 is that God's love expressed through kindness is certainly a choice. We see God's love expressed by his kindness. He chooses, despite the contempt, despite the ignoring, human ignoring of all the goodness of God, regardless of anything even being reciprocated, Paul says to the Romans, do not show contempt to the kindness of God. Second question, do you show contempt or underestimate God's forbearance or his tolerance? The word here for forbearance means to hold back anger and to grant a blessing. Deuteronomy 30 says, this day I call heavens and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. See, God's kindness is not about a truce or the absence of hostility or a workaround, we are to appreciate how God's kindness is seen through his forbearance. In these kindness diaries, God is not just holding back anger and waiting to pour out his wrath. No, at this time in human history and in our lives, he is desiring to grant a blessing and relieve human burdens. He offers grace. He wants no one to perish, but all to have eternal life, everlasting life. Think how different the world would be without God's forbearance. Think about it. God's resisting or withholding his anger and choosing to be a God that blesses. Can you imagine how different the world would be? One of my top SDI is a personality assessment tool. It stands for strength, development inventory. There's all kinds of tests. It's a test our team references often. One of my top indicators is quick to act. There's advantages to that. The overused trait or the overdone strength can be thought of as impulsivity. So you've got quick to act and you got impulsivity. Can you imagine if God was impulsive? Can you imagine how much danger our world would be in if God was impulsive, rash, quick to anger, slow to forgive, or God did not show us forbearance? Wow, we would not have a peaceful world in the way that some would say we presently do. So we are not to underestimate God's forbearance. The third question in this verse is, do you show contempt or underestimate God's patience? God is patient with people. He's benevolent for a long time. He holds back hostility. He is patient, waiting for our hearts and minds and lives to turn in a full direction towards his kindness. A historic theologian wrote in 1660, "When I consider how the goodness of God is abused by the greatest part of mankind, I cannot but be of his mind that said, the greatest miracle in the world is God's patience and bounty to an ungrateful world." That's someone thinking about this hundreds of years ago. God is patient, and we are not to show contempt or underestimate God's patience. So back to our text in Romans 2, verse 4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Our text, by way of asking three questions, is highlighting for the need for us to say, No, I do not show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience. And I do realize that God's kindness is intended to lead me to repentance. The chosen word for repentance here is defined by a change of mind or a reversal of a previous decision. In other words, changing our minds about God. Our thoughts now aligned with a trusted revelation of his character, purpose, and plans for us in the world. The emphasis in this word, repent, is on the thing that is changed, or the noun, rather than the process of change, an action or a verb. So meaning, because of God's kindness, I am now in possession of a new way to think about God, myself, and others. We have flipped the script. We change our minds about God. And in the changing of our minds, we don't show contempt, but rather we pursue all the benefits of this new narrative of kindness. Proverbs 21:21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." What a contrast. the path of contempt versus the path of pursuing righteousness and kindness. The paths are different, and the results are different. The outcomes are different. The word pursue righteousness and kindness. The word pursue carries the image of us getting something from the one person that has what we need. And this, of course, is true, for it's only from God that we receive all that is needed for life and godliness and kindness. What a promise. Three gifts, three themes that will fill the pages of God's kindness diaries. Again, what are they? God offers you life because of his kindness. The life of God, a love relationship that's filled with God's kindness. We need to flip the script and be caught up in this love and kindness narrative that God is interested to pour out upon you. Secondly, God offers righteousness, a change of heart and a change of mind, forgiven and delivered from sin, guilt, shame, fear, and insecurity removed. Supernatural transformation of our identity, for as we become sons and daughters of God through his righteousness imparted to us because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We flip the script from sinner to saved and a new identity which follows, caught up in the generous kindness of God. And finally, this pursuit leads to God's honor. Psalm 91 says, he will call on me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Talk about a flip of a script. We're in this world without needing to strive to perform and create a name for ourselves. We're given a name and we're given a future and we're given a promise of appropriate honor as sons and daughters of God. We surrender, and by his kindness, God honors us for his glory and for our short and long-term benefit. The kindness of God. Kindness, God's kindness diaries being written over your life. What a narrative. What a story. May it be your life story. Before my father passed away, in his final years, he wrote out his life story. It was quite thick. I was surprised when it was done. Old typewriter, he plucked away at those old-fashioned typewriters, and it was fun to see the journey. When it was done, we managed to get it retyped on a computer and shaped a bit more, and we printed it into a bit of a booklet with this picture on the front, and it was called My Life Story by my dad's name, Reginald Edgar Solmes. He shared all the details of his life, where he was born, where he worked, how he became a Christian. My father became a Christian in his late 30s while at a bar, at a club. He was on a dance floor, he tells us, and it was on a dance floor quite randomly that God spoke to him and said that God has a plan for his life and wanted to be his Lord and Savior. And subsequent to that, on the dance floor, a call to full-time ministry, of which he pursued as a second career. He did well to highlight things, of course, that were important to him. But again, once a Christian, I noted that my dad was quite taken by the kindness of God. My dad understood who he'd been and how God's kindness, God's patience, God's forbearance, God's kindness was very evident. Of course, before becoming a Christian and of course, even after a Christian. The way that my kindness was appreciated by my dad was how my dad found much needed purpose, provision for physical things. We didn't have much means those formative years. But my dad's kindness diary, the story of Reginald Edgar Solmes, is really a kindness diary. of a good God who loved a humble man. Truly, in my dad's story, there is the evidence of fulfilled promise that says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. And that truly, perhaps, is a good summary of Reginald Edgar Solms. And it is also to be a summary of your life. God's kindness on display, discovering and experiencing, allowing us to get caught up in how God wants to show his kindness to us. As we close today, I encourage you, as I pray, to take a moment and thank God for his kindness. He loves you so much, and he's reaching out to you this very moment. I love you, I love you. And he wants to express his kindness to you. Let him do it. Open your heart, open your mind. Let's determine to flip the script and allow the flooding of the content of God's kindness to be discovered, to be appreciated, and to us fully benefiting from the generosity of his kindness. Let's pray. Father, today, we thank you for the good work of your Holy Spirit ministering to us today, reminding us, stirring our imagination, stirring our curiosity, stirring a longing for your kindness. Thank you for being kind to us each and every day. Thank you for that script that you're seeking to write through our lives, a life that's full of life and righteousness and honor. And today, with my friends joining in prayer, we surrender to your work today. We surrender to your will today. And we want to make a fresh commitment to you today, Lord, to walk with you as you write your story in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.